Okay, this is an interview with Mrs. Alberta Payne at her home in Savannah on September 17, 1992. And this is Barbara Hendry doing the interview. Okay, when were you born, Mrs. Payne?
I was born June 4th, 1923.
Where?
At 807 West 35th Street, okay. Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you stay living at that address?
Well, I stayed there until I was about 17 and a half years old. I got married after finishing school, and then I moved.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I stayed with my in-laws on East Charlton Street for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
Then the project Yamacraw Village opened and I moved there.
Mm-hmm. That was after you had married?
After I married, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed down there in Yamacraw Village. All three of my children were born there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Carmelita was born 1941 in July.
Mm-hmm.
Marin was born November 1942, and Carmen was born June 4th, 1947.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed there. I can't remember how long afterwards, but I moved to 39th Street. My husband had an improvement in his job, and we couldn't stay in the village any longer, according to his wages.
Okay.
So then we stayed on 39th Street for a while, and after my grandmother died in 47 in May, my father died in October, and my mother was left alone, so I went and stayed with her.
Back on
35th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So then my sister died in New York, and afterwards I made arrangements to move here, 2337 Ogeechee Road, and I've been here ever since.
So when you and your husband had to leave Yamacraw, was this like the first area of town you thought about moving back into?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Why was that?
Well, I was accustomed to the west side of town. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And my mother was still around, you
right,
know.
So you wanted to be close.
Yes,
to her.
Uh-huh. So I've been here since 58, I think. No. 56. I moved here December 13th, 1956.
To the 2337. I'll just ask you one quick question about your childhood memories of 35th Street. If you can recall who some of your neighbors were on that street, who were some of the people you knew and what they did for a living?
Well, there's only one person that I notice living now, and they lived next door to us on 35th Street. We were 805. We were 807. They were 805. And the girl's name is Nadine. She was a Nadine Cleveland. Now she's Nadine Lewis. And she lives on Victor Drive. And her mother was a beautician at that time.
Did she have a beauty shop right
no,
there?
No, she just did hair in the house.
Right there on
35th Street.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember out in passing through there. There's nobody on that street that I know now. They are all newcomers.
But when you were growing up,
mm-hmm.
do you remember what some of the neighbors did for a living there, the men and the women?
There were a lot of women that did domestic work. Some of the men that I remember worked at different plants, sugar refinery, Union Bag,
mm-hmm.
and places like that. My father was a chauffeur for J.L. Budrow at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he was supposed to be the chauffeur, and he was the cook and everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another man that lived around there, Fred. I can't remember his last name, but it was in that area, it was four men, including my father, that were chauffeurs. One of them name was Mr. Levette, Frank Newton, and Fred, I can't remember Mr. Fred's name, but they were all chauffeurs for different people. And then we had two men that owned stores, little convenience stores on the corner of Geechee Road and 35th. One was named Mr. Jesse Jones. The other one, Mr. Jim Dalton. Now his wife still lives. She lives around the corner. And I can't remember anyone else at this time.
But you remember that women, a number of the women, your say of your mother's age, were working
housekeeping.
Did your mom work outside the home?
Yes, she did for quite a while. She worked until my father got sick, and he was sick about 3 years with a heart condition, and she would work part time like that.
And she did domestic.
She would always come home by the time we get from school, and of course my grandmother always stayed with us too, you know. And we had my daughter's godmother was a beautician in that on 35th Street too at that time.
Were there any other kinds of business, small businesses people did out of their homes?
No, I don't remember that.
Any moonshining?
Well, I've known of some.
Yeah.
But I can't remember. There wasn't on that street though. I could remember hearing about a lot of it. And down on the lower end of 35th Street, toward the cemetery, they say it was a lot of that being done down there. But, you know, we weren't allowed to go but so far from home. You know, your mother had to know where you are at all times.
So things were pretty strict.
And when Florence Street School was built, see, I attended school right there. And then until I got up older and I went to College Street School.
Which was close by.
But you know, you had a limited time to go and come, regardless.
And you have a limited time to go now, so we better stop.
This is a continuation of the interview with Mrs. Alberta Payne at her home in Savannah on October 7th, 1992.
Last time we were talking, you were telling me a little bit about 35th Street and some of your neighbors and what they and your parents did for a living. And you also mentioned that you attended Florence Street School. And I was going to ask you to tell me a little bit about your years at Florence Street, what year you started and...
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think that the Florence Street School started in 1929. I think that's right. I don't know. Well, I must have been 6 years old, you know, to go to school, or five, something like that. And I remember my first teacher, Mrs. Agatha Curley, first grade teacher. In fact, I know a lot of the teachers. I can't remember the grades that they taught now, but I know most of them. And the principal was Mrs. Quinney.
So you were in the first grade the first year the school was open, right?
I think so. Because that's the only
Because it was open like in 29, and that's when you were
That's right.
Six.
Five or six at that time, because we lived right across the street, you know. And I could name some of the teachers I remember, other than Mrs. Curley. Reverend Adams was there at that time,
too.
Let me say, no, not Reverend Adams. Miss Curly, Mrs. Callan, and Mrs. Hopkins, Miss Skipper, Miss Lovett, and there may be some more that I don't remember right now.
Mm-hmm. But you remember your first days there with your first teacher, your first day. Do you have any particular experience that stands out from your first years at Florence?
Well, as far as I know, my grandmama would stand on the porch and see that we got over there, and she would be standing out there when we got out of school. So it was right to school and right back home. That's about as much as I can remember right now.
Did any of the teachers live nearby in the neighborhood?
No. Miss Curley, let me see. We had a Miss Pope that lived on 37th Street. I believe she was the closest one that I can remember. Miss Hopkins lived on 40th Street. Mm-hmm. And the others were scattered around. I tried to remember where Miss Curley lived, but I can't remember right now. Mm-hmm. But most of them knew me at that time. Because my mother used to make rolls on the weekend. And I would always give my teacher a sweet roll.
Oh, yes. That was good. Good policy.
But they were still just as hard on me as they were on the other children, you know.
That didn't sweeten too much.
Yeah, so those were the ones that I remember mostly. It was a Mrs. Hardwick there too, but I can't remember where she lived.
Now, did you tell me you remember seeing the school being built?
I think so. Okay. I'm sure I did. I'm sure that was during the time that I mentioned that about the street being dug up, I guess, because they were putting down pipes and stuff, you know.
Okay.
I'm thinking that's the way it was. That's the way it was. And the first, I know when I went to kindergarten, in a lady's house right around on the Florence Street on the side of the school. Her name was Mrs. Mary Moore. Her daughter now teaches at Johnson High School, and her name is Sally Kate Williams now. But I was in the kindergarten there. I can't remember.
This was in a private person's home?
Yes, home? Yes. She lived right on the Florence Street side of the school. And I think I passed through there recently, and the houses were all boarded up, you know.
Maybe I could get in touch with her daughter and find out a little more about the kindergarten.
But her daughter's not as old as I am.
Yeah, but she might remember her mother telling her about the kindergarten.
Maybe she would. But
This was just something that, did you know, do you know if your parents had to pay?
I don't know.
That would be very interesting.
But I imagine they did. I'm mad to give her something. Because I can't even remember who was in the kindergarten class with me at that time.
But if it was neighborhood kids.
Most likely. But I can't remember.
See, this is something I have not heard about before. Private kindergarten.
Yes, it was. Right on Florence Street. I know exactly where it was. And I was trying to think of her name before she was married to Mr. Moore. If you cut that off, I can find out.
Charge?
She said no. She said she. I think she said that she just did it, you know, for the kids in the neighborhood. She said she don't remember them charging anything because she and her mother were there, you know. But in later years, she started teaching school herself, and she taught at Maple Street School.
Mary Williams did.
Mm-hmm. And she got married after she left from over here.
So she sounded like she was a qualified
teacher. Yes.
And just did it to help the
neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. As far as this 80-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now she is a cousin. She's a cousin, mm-hmm. But she's one that I can remember since I was a child.
Uh-huh.
She used to come to visit her people next door to me. Uh-huh. And she still is a member of First African Baptist Church.
So you know uh-huh.
Yeah.
Still mm-hmm.
Your
church.
Mm-hmm. So, she had two sons, I think, Miss Paulin,
mm-hmm.
And one son died. And then she lives with one of her sons now. They live together.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a grandson that my daughter taught in first grade.
Oh, okay.
He's a minister now.
Oh,
and he's married.
Mm-hmm.
She
knew all these connections. Keep track of all these people.
Yeah, so I get a chance to talk to him every now and then. And when I see him in church, too, you know, because she comes to church quite often.
Do you have any memories of that kindergarten, of going there? I mean, you remember going.
I don't remember, but one incident that stays in my mind, and that is the little chairs that we were sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
I fell out of one of the chairs one day,
and
I got a spanking.
Oh.
And that's the only thing I can really remember. And she took me by the hand and took me home.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Because I lived right over in the next block,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's the only thing I can remember, seeing those little brown chairs about like that.
So she had small chairs
mm-hmm.
for children
mm-hmm.
instead
mm-hmm.
of this
preschool
mm-hmm. kindergarten
mm-hmm.
here in her home.
Right at her home. That's the only one that I knew of at that time because, you know, we couldn't go all around. You'd have mm-hmm. to stay right at the neighborhood, even when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's always a time limit, you know.
Is that because your parents
mm-hmm.
keeping close watch?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, our grandmother always was there, you know. Even when my mama started working, mm-hmm. she was right there to watch us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any of the activities at Florence Street School? Other people have mentioned a May Day event.
Oh, yes, that was the big time.
Oh, could you describe that? What would that
well, we
like?
Used to do dances, like the minuet, and there's another dance we did, and then we would plait the maypole. I think as far as I can remember, we had like four or five maypoles on the field out behind the school, and different classes would, you know, be there planting the maypole in different colors every year in May. And we had a Arbor Day where we planted flowers or shrubbery, you know, at that particular time. I don't remember what month that was in, but in Dallas it must have been in the spring.
And you planted it around the
school? Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the students were involved in
youth. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
And then at the May Day, there would be... One reason I want to get some details on this is, you know the artist and sign painter, Mr. Pleasant?
Mm-hmm.
He said he'd paint a picture of the Florence Street School with the May Day
mm-hmm.
going on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get some more... precise, you know,
mm-hmm.
memories from people, so
mm-hmm.
he could do it based
but,
on
yeah, he's very
all.
Good, too.
So, you remember that there were five or six maypoles
mm-hmm.
at each first through sixth grade, each
yes.
class?
Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it was just the classes or whether they picked children out for that or not, but there was, you know, it drew a big crowd of people to stand around and watch us, and that was just a big day for us. Everybody would be dressed up, going to school, you know, to plait the maypole that day.
And when you say plait the maypole, what did that involve?
It's just like Well, this pole would be there with these ribbons hanging down in multicolors.
Okay.
And I think it would be like 6 or 7 or 8 children. Mm-hmm. Each one had a ribbon. And we, by the music, we would go up and over like that until mm-hmm. we'd go all the way down to the bottom. And then we would drop the little pieces mm-hmm. that was left.
Mm-hmm. And it would be all braided mm-hmm. around.
Braided around the pole. Uh-huh.
Well, you would have to rehearse that a little
bit. Oh, yes, we had to rehearse. Mm-hmm.
So you participated?
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yeah, I look forward to that every year.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Some other people told me that sometimes the costumes were out of crepe paper.
Oh, yes, we had costumes out of crepe paper. And a lot of times, some of the parents would help make the things, you know. And then the teachers would help.
Make the costumes.
Costumes, uh-huh. And, well, we were all happy when we had a chance to be into this. And I was trying to think, when did we have, it was the time that we had these dances, too. I don't know if it was during that time or not. But we had to learn how to do the minuet. And on certain occasions when that came up, we had costumes for that, too.
Mm-hmm. Did little boys plait the maypole also, or was it mostly the girls?
No, some boys did, too.
Okay.
They had some boys doing it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in any kind of a club there, or?
No, not at that time. We had a club later on, like when I got in seventh grade, I believe.
At Kyler School?
Yes. And it was just a group of my friends. We had a club called Cassandra Girls. Yeah, we were in the Kyler then because we were learning how to sew and embroidery and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a down here where the swimming pool was, they had a swimming pool, but they also had a skating rink because this huge building had a second floor, and that's where we used to skate. That was done through Lawyer Lemon. We used to have a lawyer here named Lawyer Lemon, and I understand that he and his wife were responsible for the city having this place for us.
So this was a recreational
yes.
site
mm-hmm.
Near the school, or where was
no,
that
it was
located?
Right down here
oh.
on the same side that I'm on.
On Ogeechee Road
and 39th, you know, because it's on this same side.
Okay.
And I remember that we had this club, a few of us, and we had shirts just like this, and we would embroidering our friends' names all
like
over it.
White shirt waist yeah. or different
mm-hmm. shirt just plain ones like this
mm-hmm.
and different color threads and everybody's name that we knew. And then we made some cotton skirts that would we call them burgundy now or something like that, but they were pleated all the way around. And a lot of times we'd get together and we'd go skating and those things, you know.
You'd wear your little
skirt and blouse. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call ourselves the Cassandra Girls. I don't know why, but that's the name we had.
And this was a group of your friends.
Yes.
Got
mm-hmm.
together.
Mm-hmm. And that gave us a chance to be around to some of them. Now, some people would let the children have little meetings and some wouldn't. But I could always bring them home to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama would fix brownies or cupcakes or something like that and some
mm-hmm.
lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd always like to come there.
Oh, yeah. Good snack.
Yeah. So that was one of the things that I remember about my early years at Kyle. And we used to go to school, you know, like some of the kids come further down this way.
Mm-hmm.
We'd all meet on the corner, and then we'd go to school through a little cut there at Lavinia Street. It was we call it a uke, but it was a little cut there that we could go through to a Geechee Road, and then we were going to school.
Meet up with some of the
kids all the way all along going. So it was quite enjoyable, and coming back it would be the same way. And sometimes we try to go a different route, and if we find the teachers wasn't watching, we'd go Borough Street, and then we'd cut through 34th Street, by the House of Prayer was there then, and come on home. But usually we were told to go straight and come back that way, but you know how children are.
So at that time, the House of Prayer was on 34th?
4th Street, near Burris.
Oh,
well, it was in the middle of the block, because it was between Burris and Florence. And see, Florence cut off there at 34th Street. And it was on the south side of 34th Street between Florence and Burris.
Were there any particular neighbors or teachers that you remember as being important role models for you, people who you think influenced what you did in life?
Well, we had so many people on our backs, you know, that, you know, we couldn't do like the kids do now. Because anybody can grab you up and pinch your ears and whenever they want to, or saw you doing something wrong, and send you home. If not, they'd take you home. And after I got to Kyla, we had some teachers that, you know, you wouldn't think that they were interested in you, but they were. Because they were always jacking you up. And
you're always doing well.
Getting on you, you know, about doing this and doing that. And, of course, one of the teachers was Mrs. Law. And another one that was one of my favorite was Mrs. Ida Bell Gaston, Judge Gaston's wife. And through the years, she's always... I see her occasionally, you know, and every time I see her, the first thing she asks is, but how's my child, Carmelita, my daughter? But she was one of the teachers that she used to get on me all the time, but she'd make me do, and like sewing and things like that, you know, if you didn't want to do it, she'd make you do it. And she's the one that got me on the road of sewing.
Really?
And I used to make some of my clothes, you know.
Did she teach home economics?
She did, yeah, And Stella Jones Reeves, that was one of my teachers too.
That, at Kyla.
And she was also a member of First African Baptist Church. And I thought she was the hardest teacher.
What did she teach?
She taught history and English. And I thought she was so hard on you, you know. And I never did care too much for her until later years. And then we became, after I got grown, we became quite friendly. And then we were in the same group in the church together. And I found a card and a letter that she wrote me before she died. Because when she got sick, she said she didn't know if she'd be able to. She was a Sunday school teacher too, and a public school teacher. And when she got sick, I used to go over to see her. You know, but she was a real nice person.
You thought she was kind of a strict teacher.
But I learned to love her, you know, afterwards. You know, realizing that they was interested in you, the reason they treated you that way.
Really wanted.
They did. And they demand that you get good marks. And of course, at that time, you know, you strive to be better than somebody else. If somebody make a good grade, you're going to try to make it too. You know, that's the way we did it.
So that was something to strive for.
Mm-hmm. Certainly was.
So did you, how long did you go to Kyler Street School? Did you finish
in 12th grade. Mm-hmm. Because we finished there before they built the school out here. So I never did go out here. Yeah. It was quite interesting because I knew, well, you get to know the teachers from time to time. Some of them I didn't go to, you know, in changing periods. But then I knew them anyway. We had, in the early years there, we had Reverend Adams and Mrs. Weaver, Mrs. Law, Mrs. Gaston, Stella Reeves, Donnelly, he was a senior teacher, and Mr. Pinckney, Mr. Hardwick, and Mrs. Brownlee, Mr. Law. This Mr. Law right here, brother. And Mr. Philip Cooper and Mr. Dunlap. That was our chemistry teacher. And we had a lady that was a music teacher. And Miss Varner. I forgot what she taught us. She was a very nice person. And Professor Dixon, he was one of the junior high teachers at that time. That's about all I can remember right now. Oh, it was another lady that I can't remember her name. And she was one of the junior high teachers, too. I have to just put my mind in Kyler Street School and try to think where they were located. But I think that's about the...
The ones who stand out.
Yes, anyway. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what year did you graduate from high school?
I came out of school in 41. And we still have a group of us now that meet once every month. From the 41 class, like, they had a group come out in January and a group come out in June. So we have one or two people that was in the 40 class, in the upper half, I guess, of the class. So we meet, and we call ourselves the class of 41, and we meet every third Saturday from different homes.
Really?
Mm-hmm, we still do.
You still
do? We had our 50th anniversary.
Yeah, 91.
And we went on a cruise in 90. And I forgot how many of us, but we have our T-shirts, our caps, and everything. We'll be looking forward to meeting on the third Saturday night every month.
And what kind of activities do you do?
Oh, we pay dues. Well, it's like, it has been $18 a year. Because we have, for Sunshine, $6 and $12 for our regular dues. And we also correspond with members that live out of town.
Oh, how interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if I had thought, I would have gotten that stuff together to show you. But cut it off a minute, let me show you something.
This organization that meets monthly.
And we are called the Class of 41.
Mm-hmm.
I am the treasurer.
You collect these annual dues.
Yes. No, the secretary does that. Okay. And turn the money over to me.
Okay.
We have an account at the Nation's Bank.
Okay.
where I bank the money. And then we have a sunshine treasure. She takes the sunshine money. And we do things among ourselves, because like Christmas coming up, we'll have a party for ourselves and invite friends. Valentine, we'll have a party and invite friends.
Yeah, how many people would you say are active?
We have a listing. I keep it where I can call sometimes. This is our list of members. We have 15 active members. Mm-hmm. And we have a list of out of town.
And how many people were in the graduating class?
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't sound like it was a very big group.
Well, at that time, those classes were like 100 and something,
oh, okay.
Or 200 and something, you know.
Okay.
By the time you get out of high school, it's 200 or maybe 300, mm-hmm. You know. And most of the graduations were down the First African Baptist Church.
Okay.
It wasn't the Civic Center, that was the City Auditorium.
Okay. And did you have the two graduations a year because you had to be on shifts to
get
in there?
Well, we graduated from ninth grade.
Okay.
And then we went on to high school.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that was.
But I know you said you had the January graduation
and then
the June graduation was one.
Well, I guess it was the upper class that we called the ones that came out in January or February, and then we all would be together in June.
But they were on a different time schedule.
Yeah, I think so.
Finished in January.
Yeah, I think so. They were a little ahead of us, I know that.
Okay.
And on this list here, we have about a half a dozen. Well, a lot of them came to the anniversary. I mean, the reunion. And then some of them came to go on the cruise. Now, they had a cruise this year, but I didn't go. Because I went with my other club, you know. And I couldn't do both of them at the same time.
That is so interesting. Mm-hmm. When did you all start this class of 41 group?
They started before I got into it, because I got sick in 87. And I think it was started around that time.
Okay, so
I came into it in 88, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And I've been with them ever since. And we still have some people here in Savannah, but they don't participate. I don't know why.
Well, tell me about your 50th anniversary.
Oh.
You probably had a lot more people come to that.
Well,
you?
We had a lovely group of people. We had the affair at Holiday Inn down by the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a program. We invited some of the teachers that taught us.
Some of them are still
there. Yes. And I forgot to mention Joe Green. He was the coach for the athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a program. We had a tables on the rostrum for our speakers, and my pastor was on the program. And we took pictures. We had a beautiful meal. And we had one of the classmates was a speaker for that occasion, Maisie Wilson Pelote. And I introduced her. And then we had remarks from different people. And we had Mrs. Alba Tweet, Ms. Dorothy Urey, and Joe Green, and a couple of other teachers, I can't remember, but I have the pictures. I'll get them sometime and show you. And we ate, and then they danced. Mm-hmm. So we have a member in Chicago that was here, and we had one from California, I think this child was. And we had several from New York. And we had a most enjoyable time, I tell you.
I imagine. And to think that, you know, you're that close-knit with these 15 mm-hmm, or so mm-hmm. that you can get together monthly, but it's like you revived the friendship mm-hmm. after in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Now, this girl that I introduced, Maisie, mm-hmm. she lived on 37th Street. She died last year. I went to see her mother Monday at the nursing home.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We had some of them will come up when we get ready to do something. They'll come up like that. But this girl from New York, we had her. This Inez Brown from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Buckner from Illinois.
So a number of them mm-hmm. left it to go live yeah, and work elsewhere.
And this one here in Cameron, she lives in Atlanta, but her mother and her sisters are here. They live out to Derrick's, and that was the Derrick's family.
Mm-hmm.
And I go out there to see the lady, too.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes home to see her mother. We had Cohen from Detroit, Michigan, Florence from the Bronx, and Janice G. from New York, Fletcher from Tuskegee, Alabama, and her brother is our president, Edward Fletcher. And Rosalie Williams Moore from Chicago, Ruth Petty from Maryland. Jeanette Perry didn't come. Now, she's a retired lawyer now, but she is one of our class members.
And number of the members went on
mm-hmm,
to
yeah.
become professionals.
Yeah, and Dorothy Rigstore from California. And this is Benia Strickland. His mother lives here, but he lives, I think he's still living in Colorado. He's a dentist. And we had Jerry and Steve from Philadelphia. They were all here.
Oh, how wonderful. Mm-hmm. So you had to track these people down where they were. That must have been a job for the committee.
Well, see, we got the whole list. That's why I keep it here. Mm-hmm. And we have a list that of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But we only have the ones that, you know, say they would participate. Now, some of them send a little due sometime, but they are inactive until we have a reunion or something like that.
You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so we hear from some of them occasionally. If not individually, we'll send a letter to the group.
And these were the students at Beach were, I guess it was called... Was it called Beach High at the time? Because you had that on
Well, they
the
say College Junior High, but then it was Beach High.
Mm-hmm.
It was Beach High, too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
it was both.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Beach College, that's the way we used mm-hmm. to say it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it drew students from all over
mm-hmm.
the city.
Yes.
Black students.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From all over the city. And majority of us walked. I'm saying they walked because I know I had friends on the east side, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they would walk on to school because it was nothing for us to walk.
Uh-huh.
And it was one or two that had transportation, you know, but very few.
There were no school buses.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No school buses. But we enjoyed it.
Sounds like you're very close-knit.
Yeah,
we're supportive.
Yeah, we get together once a month, and like during the summer, after they had the cruise in June, then we entertained the people that were going off down at the hotel that night. And then when they came back, we didn't have the meetings like July, August.
Mm-hmm.
We just get together and sit out and eat crabs or something like that. So we started our meeting in September.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody decided that they'll have a month to have the meeting, you know. And if they can't have it, then, you know, they'll let everybody know.
So this is a group that really you get together to plan social activities and events.
And we really have a nice time.
Are any of them also former Cassandra girls? Do you remember?
The only two that I know of are dead now.
Okay. So, yeah, I guess it's just been in the 60s and 70s that Florence Street were closed as schools. There must what kind of reaction do you remember in these communities when buildings were closed?
Well, I don't know. I can't remember about the collar because it has been closed quite a while before Florence.
Okay.
And the EOA took over that building. But Florence Street School, I knew the young lady that was the principal there, Dolores Brown. I think she's retired now, but she came up in the neighborhood, and she was the last principal there. And I think they said I think that was the reason they said that they closed the school because of the drugs, people with drugs around in that area, you know, around the kids.
Was that in the late 60s or early 70s?
I think it was the early 70s.
Okay, so I have to find the date.
I don't remember exactly, but I'm thinking that it was in the 70s. But I can't remember too much about collar closing at that time. I know about it, but I just forgot.
Yeah, but it sounds like the closing of Florence Street had an impact on the neighborhood.
Yes, it did.
How would you describe that?
Well, there were so many people that lived on 35th Street that are not there anymore. And just the other day, I found a lady spoke to me. I went to get to the bread store, and it seems that I knew her face, but I couldn't think who she was. And she called my name, and she smiled, and she said, "You know who this is?" I said, "I know your face, but I can't remember your name." And she told me where she lived. She said, "You know, my father was Carl Anderson." So I said, "Well, where is your sister? She's still there?" She said, "Yes, she's still on 35th Street. But I don't know when I've seen her."
Who was this lady?
This lady's name was... I think her name was Elizabeth Anderson.
Okay.
And the one that lives on 35th now is Vivian.
Okay.
I don't know whether she's still an Anderson or whether she married or what.
So she remembered.
Yeah, they used to live right middle ways of the block, facing Bullock Street. And those apartment houses. But that's the only person around there now that... in that area that I would know, because the rest of them are gone or dead, you know.
Well, at the time, you know, that Florence Street was closed, say the early 70s, do you remember there being a drug problem in those neighborhoods?
Well, I don't know, but I've heard it.
You have?
But see, one of our close neighbors, I used to go see about her when she was sick. And when she died, I just refused to go on 35th Street. And then one day I happened to go through there because it was another lady that lived there. And I went to help her out because she lost her husband and she was by herself. But she was mixed up, you know. And I went there several times and paid her bills. But it was so many people going and coming till I was afraid to keep on going.
So these were old neighbors.
Old neighbors, but they are all gone now. But the part that I lived in, It was four or five houses right there. They've torn them down, and there's a church there now, see?
And what was your address?
807. 807. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was sort of hurt me to see those houses being torn down. And I just didn't go.
Because none of your friends were left.
Mm-mm. Mm-hmm. None of my mama's friends were there anymore. So once or twice, a friend of mine and I, we just cruised down the street to see who we knew. And we didn't know anybody down there. I haven't been down there in a long time. Of course, I was there when the community had their picnic last year. But this year, I didn't go because my neighborhood group had our affair, too. And I couldn't make both of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I talked with Mrs. Sadie Steele.
Steele, yeah, she's still. Well, yeah, on that end,
on
Steele.
And there's a few old
times. Yes, the Myers family. Have some people there on the corner from the church. And it may be a couple of more people there in the neighborhood. Other than that, they're all gone too.
Mm-hmm.
But Miss Steele is the longest liver around there.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
in that block.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you lived there, I think you told me this, but not on the tape recording, when you lived at the 35th Street house, did your family own or rent that?
No, we were all renting.
You all were renting.
All
there
those
was a row house?
Houses, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The houses that were owned, the only house that was had an owner was right in front of Florence Street School, where that open lot is.
There Mrs. had been a house?
Yeah, it was a big house there. And the lady that lived there, name was Miss Belle Houston. And that was the only house there. And on the other side of Florence Street, going toward Miss Steele, all of those were homeowners.
Okay.
But in our section on both sides, there were tenant houses. And on where we lived, the Constantines owned our house and the ones in the lane, 35th Lane.
Were the landlords.
Landlords.
And they didn't live in the neighborhood.
No. They were all white.
Okay.
And across the street, From Hardin Street all the way to Geechee Road, the Heitmans. It was a family named the Heitmans, and they owned all of those and the ones on Klein Street. But they had, like the same person I mentioned, Carl Anson, he used to collect the rent for some of those houses on that
Do
side.
Do you remember how much the rent was for the house?
No, I sure don't. I really don't.
You weren't responsible.
No, at that time, when you had a nickel, see, my grandmama lived with us, and I had the advantage because she would always give me a nickel ever so often, you know, and whatever I got, I shared it with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when I was coming up, though, my daddy was working for the Budrows.
Yeah.
And I told you about he was making $12 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go around the corner to Benny Warshaw and the A&P and be loaded down with groceries.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. So that was a comparatively good job.
Yeah, as a chauffeur, yes.
Uh-huh. And that salary was a good
Yeah,
salary.
Because see, they
that was for like the 20s and
30s? In the 30s, I'm sure.
30s.
And, well, they bought all his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't ever have to buy shoes and clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I guess that's the way the salary went, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember my mother, would always have a piece of money. She saved.
Mm-hmm.
And my daddy, he was sick for with this heart condition 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was surprising. I heard her talking one day that she had a bank account. And I said, oh my goodness, she must, I don't know how she saved that much money, especially after I got grown, you know. I said, how could she do it?
Mm-hmm.
And with a small income. And, you know, when I got up the size and got married, it was hard to maneuver the money. It was much more than that. But she did. And we had plenty of everything. Mm-hmm. We were never without a meal. Never without clothes. So, she just knew how to manage, I guess.
And there was you and
my sister and my brother, mm-hmm. and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And my grandmama never worked that I knew of. Mm-hmm. And I've heard my mama say that too. My grandmama never worked. She always stayed with her when she got grown. But my mama worked. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was a real advantage, having your grandma mm-hmm. to take mm-hmm. care of the house and mm-hmm. kids and her mom.
Mm-hmm. And she would really cook for us and everything. And she might iron, but my mama always come home and do the washing.
Really? Mm-hmm. By hand?
Yes.
Sure, on
the tubs, we help fill the tubs.
I was going to say, what were the utilities like?
Well, for a long time we had lamps. Mm-hmm. And we got electricity.
You had kerosene lamps?
Yes, kerosene lamps. Mm-hmm. And wood stoves to cook on. Of course, we had a pretty stove. It was so clean, you wouldn't believe my mama cooked on it. Uh-huh. But she had this big stove with the oven up top. Uh-huh. Where did I see one? In, I think, Tisdale. I think they got one. And there was a lady that I knew. If I had had some place to put it, I would have gotten it. Because she died. She was a friend of mine, elderly lady. Uh-huh. She had a pretty stove.
And
through the years, she had a gas stove, mm-hmm. but she still used her wood stove to cook.
She was used
mm-hmm,
to.
Mm-hmm. But I was sort of upset about her death, so I never did get anything from her house. Mm-hmm. But she had some pretty stuff. Mm-hmm.
So you had to use kerosene,
lamps, and we had wood stoves, and we had to. After I got up besides, I had to help wash the shades. You know, we have to wash those shades every day.
The
shades on the lamp.
Oh,
like the lamp
okay.
I have back here.
Okay.
And then we had a coal stove for heating.
And so you had another stove.
Yeah, we had a heater.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that we burned coal in that. Mm-hmm. And wood in the wood stove. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday would be the day to wash clothes. My mom would wash every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And
by hand, in the tubs.
With a wash bowl.
Children, you had to help fill the tubs.
Fill the tubs,
well,
yeah.
Where did the water come from?
We had a hydrant in the yard. Mm-hmm. And my daddy built a bench. Because we had to bring water in to drink. And mama had a big pail like that. And we'd get the bucket of water, take it in the house, and it had a dipper to it. It's for us to scoop up our water, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And she had three tubs. She washed in one, and right around the bench, she had this bench with two tubs for rinsing clothes. Mm-hmm. And then she had, I got an iron pot out there she had when I was a child. Stand on three legs, mm-hmm. and she boiled the clothes after she washed them. Mm-hmm. Punch them with a stick in the middle of the yard. And then she rinsed them. And put them in a bluing water.
Ooh, I bet people wore clothes a little longer in those days before throwing them off.
And that's the way she used to do it. And they were so pretty and white. Ooh. And then she would take them in. Then she would starch them if it was something to be starched. Mm-hmm. They made starch, but they cooked it. And put the clothes in and then hang them up. And then when you have to sprinkle them when you get ready to iron them, you know. But at that time, my grandmama did a lot of the ironing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But that's all we did, fill the tubs up and help empty the tubs.
I was going to ask you what your chores were.
Oh, yes. And, of course, if my daddy didn't have enough wood cut, then my mama would get that done. We had a boy in the neighborhood, the same lady, I think you talked with Marie Williams off of 36th Street. Mm-hmm. They were on 35th too, across the street from us. And her brother used to play with her. And after he got upsized, my daddy didn't want me to cut wood. And my brother was too small, so he would get Clarence to cut the wood if he wasn't there to cut it. And then we'd have to take it in. And they cut the wood and make splinters to start the fire. And we'd have to have, that was the things that we had to do every evening, see. Mm-hmm. And on Saturdays.
So you as a young child would get the splinters off the wood?
And then we'd scrub the front porch, scrub the kitchen, rake the yard.
About how old were you when you were doing all this helping?
I guess I was about 12 years old. Because earlier years, my daddy didn't let us do anything.
Okay. But at about 12, you really had to pitch in.
And scrub the floors with a brush on your knees. And then my mama used to use this iron tub to make soap. And had it in the middle of the yard. And she would save grease off the lamb, beef, or whatever. And then she'd cook it with potash and make soap.
Use that to
scrub with?
Scrubbing.
Because we have used it. We play on our knees. She made us scrub our knees with that same soap. She sure did. And it was so pretty and white when she cooked it. Then she cut it out in blocks, you know.
And use that for the laundry, too?
Yes.
And cleaning the house? Not for washing?
No. We scraped our knees with it, though.
Oh, to get
it. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. But she always, today I don't use it, palm olive soap. My mama loved palm olive soap, and that's what we had to bathe with.
And this is how she probably managed to save money, was through all this extra work making her own soap.
And, we had an ice box, too. We didn't have a refrigerator. And she would get ice from the ice man. But we couldn't chip it like, you know, children would do nowadays. We had to wait until she chipped it, because she'd have it wrapped in newspaper to save it, you know.
Put it in the ice
box. And then on weekends, she would make ice cream or sherbet. And we had a dessert most every day with our dinner. I can remember.
That's incredible.
I can remember rice pudding, prune float, she called it. I can't remember how to fix that, but she had a little something, bread pudding.
She used maybe some of the leftover bread rice.
And she would buy bread for that, because we didn't buy bread to eat. Mm-hmm. She made our bread to eat, rolls, sweet rolls. Mm-hmm. But she would buy some bread. Sometimes if she worked, she'd bring home the ends of bread and stuff like that.
Tell me she worked in the cafeteria.
No, she worked in private homes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And she would take the bread and like that. But just to go buy bread like we buy now, we didn't do that. She started buying bread. After I got up the size, I remember buying whole wheat bread for my grandmother. And I guess that's where I got in the habit of whole wheat bread. And I never buy a loaf of white bread. I don't know why. I'm not used to it. So I use whole wheat bread all the time. So she made enough rolls to last us through the week.
It's amazing that she did all that stuff at home in addition to all the work outside
the
home.
But see,
she must have had a lot of energy.
She worked. She'd go to work in the morning. When we got off to school, she was going to work. And she'd be back by the time we got out of school, or just right after then.
So she would do.
Yeah, half a day is like. But she never did work all day long. Mm-hmm. She was always home, and it would always be by the time we get home or right afterwards. Mm-hmm. And 'cause she used to walk to work, I remember one place she was working, she walked, because it was somewhere down 36th Street. I can't remember. But it was I think it was across Bull Street. But she'd walk there and back.
In all kinds of weather.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm, that's right. But I remember the lady's name. Her name was Mrs. Mary Baldwin. And she had two daughters, grown daughters. But she always called my mother, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I used to wonder, why she called my mama that? She said, your mother is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I have walked up there with my mother or met her on the way, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes this lady would bring her home. Mm-hmm. She said, goodbye, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we just wondered what she was saying that for. Yes, sir. Mary, the mother of Jesus. But she was, my mother always said she was very nice to her. Mm-hmm. It was no hard work, you know. But,
well, I'm sure all those women doing that work, you know, their pay was probably not very
much.
Good.
I know it wasn't. I imagine from what I've heard from a lot of other people, it was very little pay. When you say $3 a week and $5 a week and all that kind of stuff, that's nothing. I don't guess you find nobody work for that.
No, that's before the days of minimum wage.
Yes.
So your mom managed to support you all, and this is after your dad got sick.
Oh, this was before my daddy got sick. Okay. My daddy was...
Oh, so she worked also while your dad was doing the show.
Yes, that's the time she worked, because after he got sick, she couldn't work, you know. Mm-hmm. The Bud Bros were paying him some money while he was sick. Mm-hmm. And of course they promised that they was going to do so much, but they didn't do what they said they was going to do, because the old man died before my daddy died. And so other than what the oldest son did, the others didn't do anything. But she managed somehow. My daddy, I remember him being in the hospital.
Now, how old were you when he died?
My grandmother died May the 14th, 1947. Mm-hmm. And my daddy died October 8th, same year. Because mm-hmm. I was expecting before my grandmother died. And she told me, you're going to have a boy. And he was born on my birthday.
Oh, well, I'll be dead.
Uh-huh.
And she knew.
Uh-huh. And so then, that daddy was sick then. But then he died in October. But we were back, my sister and I were back and forth to the hospital, you know, helping with him. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't in the hospital no long time. Mm-mm. He died in October that same year. And at that time, I was living in Yamacore Village. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back to the house on 35th Street. When did you get electricity and indoor plumbing?
No, we didn't get indoor plumbing while I was home. We got lights, but I think that we got lights before I left Florence School, because I know the Budros gave us a radio, one of those round top table radios that we had there.
And so that was still while you were... Before you were about 12, that you did get the electricity.
Yes, I think so. But we didn't have the inside plumbing at all.
And you still use the wood stove.
Now we got gas. When? We got gas when I moved back home with my mother after everybody died. And she was alone, and the rent was so high where I was. So I went back home for a while.
And about what year was that you went back?
Must have been in the early 50s or something like that.
And you had left sometime in the 40s.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I knew a fellow worked at the gas company, and he put gas in there for me.
That was mm-hmm. So up till that time, it was the wood stove.
Yeah. And when I moved here, he brought the same equipment and put it here because they didn't have gas here. Everybody that was living here before me had electricity. So he brought the same gas pipes here off of 35th Street. And it's still there today, I guess, because I'm still using gas.
Oh, you're still using gas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And
that was in, I think you told me, 56 or 57?
I think it was.
You got this house.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm.
Got off of 35th Street for the last
time. And so we were here ever since then, because we came here like... My sister died in September. And after getting things squared away, we had planned to get this house. But I had to wait until the funeral was over and I bring the body home and all that kind of stuff, go back and get rid of her things. And then we came here like the 13th of December of that year.
She had been in New York.
New York, working. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She was in school. She finished school up there, and she went into nursing right there. Mm-hmm. And this cousin that I told you came down the other day, she kept up with her more so than me, you know, because she was right there, and they would call and talk to each other a lot. Mm-hmm. And she was going to Lincoln in the Bronx, and my cousin lived in the Bronx. So they sort of kept in touch.
Back to find her.
Yeah. She got it all made out.
Yeah, I know. When I was here before, you told me about various relatives who had moved up there. A number of them, even of your grandmother's generation.
Yes.
Like her brother, this woman's father, right?
Yeah.
Left as a young
that
man.
Was my grandmama's son, youngest
well,
son.
Was his son to go.
He worked on Merchant Marine. Mm-hmm. And then my other uncle was on the railroad in Richmond, Virginia. And then my aunt was in Philadelphia, my mama's older sister. And she was the only one that stayed. My mother stayed here.
Your mom?
Mm-hmm.
And they went for better job opportunities?
I imagine so. I know my uncle... that got killed in this wreck. I know he did, the youngest one. And of course my uncle that went on the railroad, he did too, because I think he started here, but he got a better job up there. Mm-hmm. And while Louise was here, we wanted to find out his age, and we called Richmond to his daughter-in-law, and she told us, because she found a card in his... Her daughter lives in Waterloo, South Carolina, and she called her and asked her, and she told her where to look to find it. One of his work cards with his picture and age on it. Mm-hmm. So we keep up. I try to keep up with most of them that I know.
Even though they're spread
it out. Uh-huh. But you see, I know that there's very few people on my mother's side. And, of course, my father's side, I know he got one brother, but there are some of his dead brother's children. And the youngest brother that's living in Florida now, he has three or four children. And some of them have children that I don't know. But I know the three children. I met them years ago. But it's hard to keep up with some people because you write, and then they don't answer your letters.
Oh,
and
I'm glad about writing letters.
And I sell them right now. But I do call my uncle in Tallahassee. But they never call me. So I just call to check on him and see how he's doing. And I have a friend down there. When I talk to her, she always let me know how he's doing. And if he's doing all right, I don't call.
Well, I've taken up a good bit of your time, Mrs. Payne. Do you have any other, you know, comments or memories about your old neighborhood that you'd like to get on the tape? I mean, I could go on and on and ask more questions, but I think it's plenty for today.
Well, I can't think of anything right now, but I will try to get those pictures together.
Oh, yeah.
So you can have them. I know I have them, but I have to find them. I got so many pictures around here.